Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Oh. And from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety. What day is it? Wednesday? No, Thursday. There. What the hell is it? March 7th, 2024. Wow, they changed the software that I use. So, a little bit. So we use a certain program, online web-based program. And they have changed things around a little bit tonight, threw me off. Looks like a little bit even easier interface here. We're on a little bit later. I always wanted to interrupt the State of the Union address. Yes, I did. So, that's what we're doing. So, anyway. A lot of news. We weren't here. We're here a little bit later because we had some prior stuff scheduled. Kids baseball. Plus, where I was at, we are still feeling the effects of the weather out here. And the weather is going to make. Three days of rain. Anyway, I'm looking here. They changed things around significantly. Anyway, a lot of news in the last couple of days. We're not going to be out for the full program, but we have some updates to some stories we've been following. One of them being the Rust Productions movie incident where people were killed on the set of the Rust movie, and Alec Baldwin was the alleged person who fired a gun and killed one person and injured another very severely. So there's been some litigation we talked about last year and periodically when we've had updates on stuff, because it's one of those things where moment of high impact. That's what I'm looking for. Again, it's 10 o'clock at night where I'm at now. Been up since 4:30 a.m. So it's a moment of high impact because this is a high, it's in the news and safety in the news. And the state of New Mexico, they have their own OSHA program. They had issued the whole accident report. And there were things in the accident report in the trial that didn't make it into the accident report. Now, what is the moral of the story? What's the big point on here? It turns out after the arborer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed's conviction, yesterday, was that what's the lesson to be learned? She was in effect the safety professional. She was in charge of the safety of the guns, right? She was working for props and working here in the armor. It's basically a safety professional for guns. Now, this is a situation you're going to say, well, Jim, I don't work with guns. Doesn't matter. This is a situation that is very common in the safety field here. So here we have a situation. Let's review. One person was killed, Helena Hutchins. Another person was seriously hurt. Didn't die, but he was seriously hurt. And basically, the film's armorer was found guilty on Wednesday of involuntary manslaughter in the death of the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, and faces up to 18 months in prison. Mr. Baldwin, and this is from the New York Times, is scheduled to stand trial in July on a charge of involuntary manslaughter. The jury found the armorer had behaved negligently for failing to check that all the rounds she loaded into Baldwin's revolver were dummies, which are inert rounds, right, a dummy round. Question of where the live ammunition came from in the first place has hung over the case from the start. Apparently, the prosecutors convinced Ms. Gutierrez-Reed, convinced the jury that Ms. Reed was responsible for this. Now, okay, that was not in the original report. Okay, so this is obviously why they charged her, right? She's the one who put the allegedly put everything in. I'm sure it's being appealed, or put the ammunition in the thing, was in charge of this, and there was some physical evidence in the form of those damn smartphones, right? Smartphones strike again with that. Now, it's a problem. It's a big, big issue here. Now, for her. Now, how does this apply to regular safety people? It does apply to us. We've seen this happen. Now, let's review. She was told by her employer not to concentrate on armorer duties, but concentrate on props, not armorers. The employer did not, and this has not been argued, employer failed to follow a whole bunch of industry standards, were cited under the general duty clause, right? Which basically they met all four conditions. They settled with the state of New Mexico and everything else. Now, how many times have you been on a job? You're a safety professional. You bring up a safety issue up to a person and your boss, and they say, look, this is a safety issue. Hey, and they say, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Or, hey, you know what? You're concentrating too much on safety and not enough on other stuff going on. We're about production here. We got to get the job done. Right? And you go through all the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals that we've covered on this program, and you get all of this. Now, this apparently is what happened here, because she was told by one of her bosses, don't worry about this. Other people who are on the job here, I can't imagine Mr. Baldwin did not have training, because he was on a couple of other movies where they had guns. From what if his movie career and his TV career can be believed, right? Now, nobody said anything. At that point, when she got this in writing, don't do this, what was incumbent on her, how could she might have gotten out of this? Had she gone up to somebody in charge, right? Senior producer, bosses, said, look, we're not doing this, we're not doing this, we're not doing this. I'm told not to do this, blah, blah, blah. What do I do? Now, had at that point, she had a safety situation, she tried to resolve it. If they said, well, you're fired, pick up your guvno and get out, pick up your stuff and get out. Well, guess what? Now she has what is called a whistleblower case, because she lost her job for reporting an OSHA thing and it didn't get resolved. And she brought this out. This was a thing. Now, let's say that it's you on a job in a facility. They say, well, you know what? We're not going to do X, Y, and Z. Right? We're not going to do X, Y, and Z, whatever that is. Now, and you say, well, look, we're going to try to resolve this, blah, blah, blah. They end up firing you. They end up not paying attention to you. Right? Now you have a whistleblower case. Yeah, it's a textbook whistleblower case with everything. Something to think about. What if they don't, because this is a case where that happened She didn't do follow-up. She didn't do her job, which was being in charge of this. Mixed up ammunition. There's allegedly criminal negligence here with bringing on live ammunition onto a set, which is apparently against the rules, against maybe their written plan, which was not available in public. And this is what the issue is. So what's the moral of the story? Do your job. At this point in my career, and I understand that she was very young, early 20s, you don't really have backbone at that point. Most people don't. You're a whiny kid, according to most people, right? That's been my experience. So what do you end up, what do? You leave the job? I tell you what, when you get hired, you have to be able to do, especially in the construction industry, you have to have what your responsibilities are. Are you the competent person? Are you the person in charge? Are you a supervisor? Can you hire, fire, or discipline anyone? All of this stuff goes into this. She did not do this, apparently. That's what it looks like. No, so can you hire, fire, or discipline anyone? Because I tell you what, this might have ended up differently if she said, look, I have no authority to hire, fire, discipline, or make corrections anywhere here. That's up to my boss. I was overruled, blah, 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 blah. I'm not responsible. Things might have turned out differently had she done that. But you have to be a pretty darn experienced safety professional to know to do that. Another thing. And I think Alec Baldwin is going to rue the day for this. And I do understand someone dies on the job. You want to help. You want to be helpful. You want to talk to the police. You want to do this, that. Remember, and we talked about this about a month ago, you have Miranda rights. If there's a fatality, and if you're in the management of a company, you're treated a little bit differently than a working schlub out there, right? You have Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent, and you have the right to an attorney. And you know, you can look up the old Dragnet stuff here, right? You have all of these rights. Assert them. I understand from Mr. Baldwin and everybody else. They wanted to be helpful, and they started talking and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Might be a better idea to shut up and get your attorney, because this might have turned out differently had she done this. Right? I'm hearing people here, right? I could just hear it right now. Well, you know, Jim, you're not supposed to tell people how to get around OSHA and then blah, blah. I'm not telling people how to get around OSHA. All I'm saying is assert your rights here. They're federal agents, they're law enforcement, you know, act appropriately. I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just saying how you manage things with this, right? Because remember, there is no statute of limitations on a murder, right? Really is that. As far as I know, there isn't. There are people that killed someone 40, 50 years ago that are getting convicted. So what's the rush? You could talk to them later on. Talk to them with an attorney. The immediate danger is over. You have someone hurt and someone killed. You don't have to go talking, blah, blah, blah. The immediate thing is over with, and that's it. It probably would have been different. Now, again, so in conclusion, assert your rights. Do your job. If your employer is not allowing you to do your job, make sure you have it in writing. And on the setup of the job, find out what your responsibilities are with this. And there is such a thing as a whistleblower protection. Had she asserted this, might not have had a problem. Who knows? And if that wouldn't have worked, I tell you what, I would like to think that I would have said, or somebody in my employ would have said, you know what? Sayonara, folks. That's what I would have done. So we're going to, that's my comment on that. We're going to go into a little bit of a commercial here, and we'll come back.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Pozell, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant, that's Safety Wars. Join a safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Pozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozell with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Bonfire. Okay, we are back. And since it's Thursday, we're going to send out our Thursday message. This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Context drives behavior. Context drives behavior.
So, we are attempting to stream live on Rumble. I was just checking out whether or not we were on Rumble. So I don't know if we are or not. If we're there, that's great. If not, we'll get you next time and we'll upload this video here. Hold on. One more. And no, doesn't look like we're... what's this? Live. No videos found. Okay, well, we'll get there tomorrow, I guess. Now, going on to our regular news and views. So, let me share. No, they really, they change everything here. Screen. Window. All right. So here we have U.S. Department of Labor. Again, cites a Robbinsville frozen food manufacturer company, right? U.S. Department again cites Robbinsonville frozen food manufacturer after workers suffers amputation for poses a $551,000 fine. I happen to know where this facility is. All right. So it is during the inspection. So The agency determined the exposed workers to lockout tagout hazards. And there are a lot of repeat things here and everything else. Let's see what we have. This is out of the Marlton area office. I don't think I know anybody there. So scrolling down, the normal stuff. Citation one, item one, type of violation serious. Lockout devices and tagout devices did not indicate the identity of the employee applying the devices. And employees who utilize lockout tagout did not have individual locks. This is a big thing. You got to have individual locks for every employee, and every employee has to have the only key for it. Often companies try to pull a fast one, and what they do is they have key-to-like locks for everybody, and the supervisor has the keys with everything. You can't do that. Every employee has their own lock. $16,131. Citation one, item 2A, type of violation serious. Lockout or tagout was not performed only by the authorized person, employees who are performing things. So the locks were not applied by employees who are actually servicing and maintaining the machines. Another $16,000. Citation one, item 2B, another lockout tagout issue, $0. Citation two, item 1A. This is a big one, a willful serious. Procedures are not developed, documented, and utilized for the control of potentially hazardous energy when the employees are engaged in activities covered by this section. So this is 161,000 plus here. The work site was located, blah, blah, blah. Management did not ensure that procedures were utilized to the company's lockout tagout policy, as workers did not use a group lockout. Workers did not ensure machines were de-energized, going on and on and on. And bad situation. Citation two, item 1B, zero on here. The energy control procedures did not contain a specific statement on the intended use of the procedure. Management did not ensure the lockout tagout procedures were developed for each machine and lockout tagout procedures needed for the cleaning and servicing processes. $0 on that. Scrolling on down, the employer did not provide training to ensure that purpose and function of the energy control program are understood by the employees and that knowledge and skills required for the safe application, usage, removal were acquired. Management did not provide adequate training, going on and on and on and on. $161,000. Citation to item three, a willful serious. Again, lockout or tagout devices were not affixed to each energy isolating device. $161,000. Citation three, item one, repeat serious. Looks like a repeat on here. Yeah, a repeat. $35,488 for that, for a grand total of proposed $551,719. U.S. Department of Labor investigates and cites a Red Barn truck wash after three workers injured and one fatally from exposure to harmful gases. Federal investigators determined a truck washing company failed to protect workers from hydrogen sulfide gas as they entered over-the-road tanker trailers to clean them out. So what we're looking at here is something to do with a permit-required confined space. Is what it sounds like. 171,680. Yeah, I didn't even read this. Confined space, hearing, conservation, respiratory protection. This would probably be one that we want to send on over to your customers. And I'm going to do that right now. Hold on. Right. So here we go. Again, smaller companies, smaller violations, probably the first time they had a run-in with OSHA. Citation one item one, 29 CIF 1910-128. It was walking and working surfaces. Again, they're probably on top of the truck, right? Standing on the mid rail and top rail of the of a mobile ladder, stand to extend their reach, exposing employees to fall hazard approximately 9 feet. That was $4,800. The employer did not administer a continuing effective hearing conservation program. That was $4,800 right there. And respiratory protection, right? $4,839. Citation one, item four, if you're keeping count, respirators and an IDLH, immediately dangerous life and health situation, which has to be supplied air with an emergency escape model or an SCBA, $4,839. Citation one, item five, type of violation serious. No medical evaluations, $4,138, $48. No fit testing, $40, and this is going on. These look like they're all pretty low fines. Citation one, item seven, improper storage of respirators. Citation one, item eight, no training in respirators. Citation one, item nine, no permit required confined space evaluations. Another $4,800. Citation one, item 10. The employer has not fully developed all elements implemented and updated their current confined space entry program. So here we have the employer failed to develop a written permit space program. Now, let me point out something. There's a common misconception in this industry here. And I was brought up in this industry with tanker trucks. Right. So one of the misunderstandings, and I think it's deliberate up to a point, is that you don't, because it's a vehicle, you don't have to comply with OSHA as a DOT situation. Not so. Right. DOT does regulate some stuff, right, that OSHA doesn't. But guess what? If someone dies in a permit required confined space, it's an OSHA issue with that. Citation one, item 11, again, confined space entry issue. No procedures for entering in confined space. And 1910-146. There is no atmospheric monitoring equipment, no ventilation equipment, no communication equipment, and or rescue equipment. $4,800. Citation one, item 13, no evaluation of the space before entry. $4,800. Citation one, item 14, no attendant. $4,800. And it just goes on and on and on. And again, if you want... Again, all different. Basically, they did nothing with permit required confined spaces here. And going on, what were we looking at? $171,000. And we have a lot of violations here. Now, here you go. Three workers injured and one fatally. I don't know. I don't really know what to say here with this. And OSHA's been regulating permit-required confined spaces in general industry since 1993, construction since, I believe it was 2015, and this has been a known hazard. So before all of that, you had general duty clause violations. Don't get it. I really don't get it. We're going to be talking about training tomorrow and some of the issues we're seeing here in the New York area. One company issued 20,000 fraudulent training documents that were used in the city of New York, allegedly. as an issue, and I have a lot to say on it. This is out of a company. This is out of Millville, New Jersey. It's a company for no hazards here. What kind of workplace is this? This was a settlement from a situation that happened in April 2022 from a referral. And let's see here. All right, so here we have the settlement between OSHA and the company affirms four willful, 11 serious, and two other than serious citations and proposed penalties of almost $300,000 issued after a investigation. OSHA cited the company for failure to, again, respiratory stuff, written hazard communication, no SCSs, fall protection issues, machine guarding, powered industrial trucks, aka forklifts, ensure safe use of electricity in regulated areas, right where flammables were, keep emergency area exits unobstructed, no cleaning or removal of combustible residue, and ensure proper guarding of abrasive wheels on portable grinders. These are all relatively cheap things to resolve, but it ended up costing them $300,000. I don't know really what to say here. Again, give us a call, 845-269-5772. Okay, so let's talk about some positive things here. I will cover that tomorrow. And got to stop sharing. And there I am. We'll cover those other stories tomorrow. Just wanted to come on out here for a short time, talk about things. See you tomorrow, folks. This is Safety Wars.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.